Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
7610, we'll head out to Overland Park right now to catch up with Brian in the OP. Brian, how you doing, man?
Good, how are you?
Doing fantastic. All right, you got Mitch Morse, Eric Berry, Travis Kelce, and the legend Christian Okoye. Who are you going up against in pick a player?
I'm going to go up against Okoye.
All right, Christian Okoye, he has NFL teams named after animals. All right, Brian, how many NFL teams named after animals can you name in 15 seconds? When your mark gets set, go.
Bears, Lions, Dolphins, Falcons, Rams, Seahawks. Damn.
Is damn an animal?
No, damn is not an animal. All right, we'll put you on hold there. I didn't hear the first one that he said. The phone was a little bit messed up.
I think it was good. I'm going to give it to him, so I got him for a 6 spot.
It sounded like he said Raiders, but I wasn't really sure. Yeah, I wanted to assume that my guy Brian assumed or didn't think that the Raiders were an animal.
I mean, some of the Raiders are animals. Their fans are animals, right?
All right, let's hear if Christian Okoye, who played in the league, knows his NFL teams. Hit it, Dusty.
Bengals, Bears, Panthers.
Christian Okoye, the Nigerian Nightmare. Stumped on that one.
The Nightmare. Did you ever have that Christian Okoye poster where he's like Freddy Krueger?
No, I didn't. I was a little too young for the Christian Okoye poster.
Yeah, I had that one where he's like Freddy Krueger, you know, and he's the Nightmare, and he's got the blades on his fingers. I got the Nigerian Nightmare for a 3 spot.
Who won that one?
That would be Brian in the OP.
How many did he get?
He got 6.
All right, so a +3 for Brian in the OP. All right, let's hold on down. John in Lawrence, you're on the drive today. John, how you doing, man?
I'm good. All right,
you got Mitch Morse, Eric Berry, and Travis Kelce today in pick a player. Who are you going up against?
Berry.
All right, Eric Berry. He has musical groups. How many different musical groups can you name in 15 seconds, John? On your mark, get set, go.
Led Zeppelin, Van Halen, Aerosmith, Fleetwood Mac, Earth, Wind & Fire, Casey and the Sunshine Band, Delta DeVoe.
All right, let's put you on hold there. I remember back when I was a young pup, I thought that Earth, Wind, and Fire were three separate individuals named Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah,
I did not know that it was 172 people in the musical group Earth, Wind, and Fire.
They got a lot of horns, too, man. They got everything in there. You big Casey and the Sunshine Band guy, C-Dot?
Play that funky music, White Boy. I believe that's their song. That's all I know about Casey and the Sunshine Band. I don't know anything else about Casey.
Fleetwood Mac?
Yeah. Don't know any Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood Mac, sweet.
Oh, that's them?
Hell yeah.
Oh, that's I only know that song from commercials. I've never heard that song out in public.
I've only a lot of Fleetwood Mac in gangster films, like Goodfellas and stuff like that. Play a lot of Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood Mac's great, man. And
I don't really remember the music in Goodfellas. Like, that's not really what I think
you
of. Like,
oh
man,
Goodfellas
has such a great score. That's not really me, you know?
I want you to get me like a rap artist or something that you're like your music background that I wouldn't know, and I want to give you something that you wouldn't know from my background. And I want to have us like do like a podcast where we analyze each other's music. We're like, this was just absolutely trash.
Okay, all right. I can't wait to do a podcast on Fleetwood Mac. That sounds great.
Van Halen. I can't wait to do one on Future.
Work some Van Halen in there. Can you work some Van Halen in there for me, Dusty, or not?
Yeah.
Can you name somebody that's in Fleetwood Mac? I can't.
Lindsey Buckingham.
Stevie Nicks. Fleetwood.
Oh, I've heard of Stevie Nicks before.
Yeah, she's like the lead singer.
He plays.
I
thought it was a drummer. I didn't know.
No,
very attractive in the 80s.
Mick Fleetwood's the drummer, right?
I didn't know.
Mick Fleetwood is. Yeah, he's the characteristic one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Stevie Nicks, by the way.
Christy McVie, who is the pianist. Come on, man.
Stevie Nicks, by the way, is a female.
Oh, I thought it was a male drummer. I'm obviously not very familiar with Fleetwood or Mac. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Eric Berry does not name Fleetwood Mac in his musical groups. Let's find out.
Boys in the Hood, Frankie Beverly and Maze, the Osley Brothers, U2, Green Day, Blink 182. OJs, Gladys Knight and the Pips.
All right.
What was the last one?
Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Oh, got it. By the way, Gladys Knight singing the national anthem at the Super Bowl.
A lot of people think that she is one of the characters on The Masked Singer. I don't know if you watched that show or not.
I've not.
But, yeah, one of the
last. I see what Kasky tweeted about it a bunch, but
I watched it. It's a great show.
Is it really good? Okay. I had
The Masked Singer.
The Masked. Is where they wear a mask. You don't know who's singing the song.
And you have to like guess who's singing. It's like a celebrity.
Yeah. Yeah. Like. Was Terry Bradshaw one of them last night?
I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but yeah.
It's a TV show.
I mean, but the part of it is you don't know who the singer is, and then they unveil themselves at the end. Like, they give you clues.
But the show's
already
over.
You just hear their voice, but some people haven't seen it yet.
So I didn't really
want to spoil the reveal was.
So now there's a spoiler for game shows? The spoiler for game shows now?
Yes.
Hey, don't reveal the answers to Family Feud. Can we not do that? Because somebody hasn't watched it out there.
I mean, the whole concept of the show is that you don't know, and then there's a reveal at the end.
DVR's Masked Singer.
I DVR because I don't want to watch the commercials. Yeah, I DVR. Yeah.
There's your answer.
I'm happy I watched it yesterday. I would have been very mad that you had spoiled that Terry Bradshaw was one of the participants in the game. How many did Eric Berry get in this?
Eric Berry got 8. John in Lawrence, unfortunately, got 7, so he out.
All right, John in Lawrence, you are out of here. We still need one more caller. I think that Dusty broke line 1, so no one has been unable to call. If you call in right now, 913-576-7610, I promise we'll get you in there for Pick a Player. We still got a line open in that, or just only 3 people listen to the show and want to win the Neil Smith autographed football. It's actually fairly amazing. Let's go out to KCK and catch up with John in KCK. John, how you doing, man?
Good, how you doing?
Doing fantastic. All right, you have Mitch Morse and Travis Kelce in Chiefs Pick a Player today, brought to you by Ag Power. Take your pick.
I'll take Travis Kelce.
All right, Travis Kelce, he has properties in the game Monopoly. How many properties in the game Monopoly can you name in 15 seconds, John? On your mark, get set, go.
Boardwalk, waterway, Pennsylvania Avenue, Delaware Street, on a prospect. I don't know.
Prospect is
not in Monopoly. Maybe like Kansas City Opoly or something.
They got Truce in there too.
But,
man.
It is.
Did you get Shawnee Mission Parkway? What's that worth?
What would be the number one property sold if they did Kansas City Monopoly?
It's probably really J.C. Nichols. Yeah. The Plaza would probably be. I mean, I assume they have KCopoly. Google it. I'm sure it's on there. I would actually probably say Gates or Shane Company. Those would probably be the Park Place. That would be my guess. Park Place or Boardwalk would probably be Gates or Shane Company.
I think it might be Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio from since 1967, or the Low T Center as well.
I might actually have O'Reilly as like, you know, Reading Railroad in that one. Like, you know, they're O'Reilly's like a good short line railroad in this one. Let's see if Travis Kelce, in between playing football and basketball, if he was inside playing board games back when he was a kid.
Boardwalk, Pasco, New York Estate. I don't even know if that's one. I just pulled that one out. That's all I got for you right there. I don't got anything else for you.
Pasco doesn't count.
No, Pasco was.
So I got Kelce for 1.
Pasco is not a property that you can buy in Monopoly. Travis Kelce, no bueno in the game of Pick a Player.
By the way, the last Kansas Monopoly has the Wizards as a place you can buy.
Ooh, they got to update that
one. That's right.
They got to update that one. All right, who won that matchup?
That's a really good question because I had him for 5. But
no, he did not have a 5. Okay. He said Waterway, which is a car wash over there on Ward Parkway.
I'm not going to lie, man. I don't know all my Monopoly properties, so I'm going to give him a
4
spot.
I think he only got 2, actually.
He got 2?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he only got 2. He's with the +1, so that means John and KCK cannot win Pick a Player because Brian has a +3. All right, Michael, you are our last contestant today in Pick a Player. How are you doing today, Mike?
Man, I'm doing good, but I got to tell you what, I think Barry might have missed one of those.
Which one?
A little fact check on songs, he said Boys in the Hood. That's a movie. I'm thinking he was thinking Boys to Men, but I'm pretty sure.
Actually, said, Michael, Boys in the Hood is actually a musical group, Young Jeezy. He got his start there. I'll give you a little rap trivia there.
Okay. Well, I saw the movie
with Mac, but I can certainly tell you about Young Jeezy. All right. Female artist. You're going up against Mitchell Morse. How many female musicians can you name in 15 seconds, Michael? On your mark, get set, go.
Madonna, Lady Gaga, let's go with Barbara Streisand. We're getting crazy here. Barbara Streisand, let's go with Oh, how about Carrie Underwood?
All right, let's put you let's put you on hold there.
How about a little Shakira? I would have mentioned. I would have gone with Shakira.
I was really expecting Michael to give you a Cardi B. I thought he was going to pull a Cardi B.
Led
out.
With Madonna.
How is there not any? If he listened to this show, how is Rihanna not on this list?
I don't know. That's an excellent question. I mean, she might be the greatest musician of really of all time, in my opinion. Let's see if Mitchell Morris knows his music.
Carrie Underwood, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, Cher, all the Spice Girls. that's five, right? That's good. That should do it.
I think you got to name the Spice Girls to actually get them. Dusty, can you name the Spice Girls?
Can you name any?
I'm asking you if you can name them.
Yeah,
that's
easy.
A no.
I can go through all five.
That's clearly a no from Brad.
Okay, yeah, you got Scary,
go ahead, name them.
Sporty, Baby, Posh.
Yeah, Posh. Is Posh the one that married David Beckham?
That's right.
Yeah.
Sporty, Scary, Posh, Baby.
Shady.
And Ginger.
No.
How you doing, sweetheart?
Oh, that's not. I don't even know if that's right.
I think that's right.
I went to the movie theaters and saw Spice World as a dude, as a kid.
Oh, wow.
I mean, don't feel ashamed. I saw Crossroads starring Zoe Saldana and Britney Spears in theaters, so you have nothing to be ashamed
of.
Did
you go see Honey?
Honey's one of the greatest movies of all time, actually. That is a cinematic masterpiece. All right, who won the game?
It's going to be our guy, Brian in the OP.
Brian in the OP, you have a Neil Smith autographed football. Hang on the line, and we will take care of you. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest, and we'll also catch up with Chris Carter, Pro Football Hall of Famer. But first, I've got a Chiefs and Patriots toss-up question, and I have an absolutely crazy stat about Rob Gronkowski. I'll tell you what it is coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest, and we will catch up with Chris Carter, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Hey, Dusty, come up here. We're going to play really quickly Chiefs Price is Right. I got all the games in the 4 o'clock hour. All right. Someone on the text line earlier today asked a question. Now, I don't have the answer to this one because I didn't have the time to look it up during the show, but I have something very close. When is the last time that Eric Berry and Justin Houston played a full game together? If you guys missed it, Eric Berry's going to play in this one. He is off the injury report. He was a full participant every day in practice this week.
I think
Eric
Berry
is going to suit up for your Kansas City Chiefs. And Ian Rappaport said it, and he ain't one to make stories up. So I looked this up. Over the last three seasons, the Chiefs have played in 51 games. That includes the postseason. Fanning, we will start with you. How many games has Justin Houston and Eric Berry both played in the game? They will, as you know, play together on Sunday in the AFC Championship game. Out of 51 games.
Out of 51 games, how many have they played? Like a full game? We going full game here or just
played in a game together?
Okay, got it. I'm going to say seven.
Seven. Brandon, how many games out of 51 have Eric Berry and Justin Houston both played in out of 51?
I'm going to go three.
Three. Dusty, obviously somebody's taking your guess.
This is Price is Right, so I'm going to go a dollar. I'm going to say one.
One.
I can't go over that.
We obviously know that's not the answer because two have happened this year.
That's right.
What do you got? What
realistically,
you got? Hey, you already
it's over.
You're done.
Oh, well, my answer got stolen.
You and your cheesy little Del Griffith mustache, you're done.
The answer, out of the last 51 games the Kansas City Chiefs have played, eight. Eric Berry and Justin Houston have only played eight total games together over the past three seasons. I mean, what's happening on Sunday is very rare. The Chiefs very rarely have their two of their four best defensive players.
Yeah. You want to know when the last full game that they played together?
Probably week one last year.
No, because Berry didn't play the full game, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
He kind of did, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
It would have been the playoff game against the Steelers at Arrowhead. Last time they played a full game together.
How'd that work out?
Not good.
No, it did not. It did not work out very well.
Hey, but don't give away the ending in case somebody DVR'd the game, okay?
It did not work out very well.
Yeah.
It did not work out very well for your Kansas City Chiefs. So, keeping in this theme of games, I've got a toss-up question for you guys. Who are you more worried about heading into this game? Is it Julian Edelman or James White?
That's a really good question. For me, I'm going to go James White. I think he is dangerous coming out of the backfield.
I have a stat for you guys because you know how I am about my numbers.
You do like your numbers.
Tom Brady, in his career, with Julian Edelman on the field, is 71 and 21. Or excuse me, I'm sorry. 71 and 10 with Julian Edelman on the field. They do not lose when Julian Edelman plays. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's that security blanket. You have that calm piece of nerve when you're going when you got a guy going over the middle.
Five of those losses have happened this year on the road. Okay. Sounds like I still got it wrong though, right? I mean, I would imagine they win more with Julian Edelman on the field than James
White. Yeah, it has been crazy how dependent Brady has been with Julian Edelman on the field and how dominant they've been with him on the field. I look at this matchup with these two guys. I think these are obviously the two big weapons. I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know in this game when it comes to James White and Julian Edelman. That's where a bulk of the targets have gone, especially since Josh Gordon. Like, I think if you want my Mad Hat theory when it comes to the New England Patriots, I think they realize the firepower that the Kansas City Chiefs have. They saw they didn't have enough firepower, so they went out and tried to get a dynamic playmaker in Josh Gordon. Then, like Josh Gordon, something happened. He's not on the field right now, and they have had to drastically change what they do offensively. James White had 17 targets in the game last week against the Los Angeles. 17 targets. That's a lot of underneath stuff, a lot of dink and dunk stuff. Since the Josh Gordon dismissal, since he was kicked off of the team, Julian Edelman leads the team in targets with 29. James White leads the team in, or is second in the team in targets with 26. And James White has 20 catches in this. Julian Edelman has 19 catches. So it's very obvious in this one. Those are the two main weapons for Brady. That's where he's going to go a majority of the time. I also saw this. It was some next-gen stats. It's also, I would say, even more simple when you really look at the New England Patriots. They run the ball whenever Sonny Michel is on the field. And then they throw the ball whenever James White is on the field. Like, it's really that simple when it comes to understanding the Patriots offense.
Like 76% of the time or whatever it is when James White's on the field, they throw him the football. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Yeah, crazy. I mean, so it seems fairly predictable to me then, right? I mean, if they're going to throw the football, if James White's in there, they're throwing the football. And if he's not, they're probably running the football. It seems very predictable to me.
Yeah, I mean, it seems predictable. It's very hard to stop. I think we saw last week when it came to James White, he was a very difficult person to stop in this game. I kind of think that's the cog in the wheel that makes things go. I remember we were talking to Danny yesterday, and he said about Brady that he thinks that Brady is the best intermediate quarterback in the NFL. And one thing I think really opens things up for Brady is when that running game is really effective. Whenever they're running the ball really well, and then you allow that play action fake, and then you allow them to hit James White out of the backfield on a little rollout play, or you allow Gronk in the middle of the field when Gronk is really good, or Julian Edelman over the middle of the field, man, the Patriots offense is as dynamic and efficient as any offense in the NFL. I think it goes without saying. The Chiefs, they are much more of a big play, chunk yardage kind of offense, where the Patriots are much more of the 10 plays for 70 yards, kind of grind it out, try to dominate time of possession team way more than Kansas City is.
Yeah, that's what they're going to, and that's what they'll try to do. I mean, that's got to be their game plan. I know you have Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, coming in here with the Patriots, but if the Patriots are going to beat the Chiefs, they're going to have to use the short passes and run the football. It's really it. I mean, that, and they're going to have to do what the Chargers did. Even though the Chargers were down by a couple of touchdowns three different times in that game, they never really got away from their game plan. And where you've seen other teams that come to Kansas City have. Look at what Jacksonville did. You know, they got away from their game plan in a hurry. The Colts had to do it in the playoff game. We've seen it multiple times. Teams come in here with a plan, the Chiefs punch them in the mouth, and then they get out of it. I don't think Belichick will get out of that plan.
And I think offensively, I think what the Patriots are going to try to do is they're going to try to really isolate the Chiefs running back or the Chiefs linebackers. We talk a lot about Anthony Hitchens and Reggie Ragland. This is a go earn your money game. Like, we talk about the contract with Sammy Watkins, and I'll take responsibility. I talk a lot about Sammy Watkins' contract. But you guys are talking about that Anthony Hitchens contract, and one thing I think Belichick is going to try to do in this matchup is he's going to try to isolate Reggie Ragland and Anthony Hitchens and try to make those guys tackle in space. If you get Julian Edelman out in the flats, if you get Michelle out in the flats, if you get James White, can the Chiefs make a play that is normally a four-yard play? Can they keep it at four, or does that four-yard play turn into 7 or 8 yards? If that's the case, that means New England, they're moving the ball. They're keeping the chains moving. It's going to be very difficult to stop this offense. Tackling in space, I think, is going to be the message that Bob Sutton needs to convey to this defense.
Yeah, and if I'm the Chiefs, I'm sorry. Reggie Ragland's not on the field that much. I'm going to limit his snaps. I mean, Eric Berry is... He's going to play in this game, and he's going to play in this game for a reason, not to mention you have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Got it. Neat. Okay? But if your passing game to your running back out of the backfield is that effective, then Reggie Ragland can't be on the field that much. I mean, I'm going to be running as many safeties out there as I possibly can. Dirty Dan, Eric Berry, Jordan Lucas, those guys are going to be on the field for me more than anything. And and Ragland's got to be on the sideline. I know a lot of people are freaking out because Dorian O'Daniel's not playing in this game, and that's the guy that you would think would be the perfect matchup for a running back out of the backfield. But I think you could still do that with a combination of Barry and Sorensen. Eric Murray's not the best tackler in space. I think we've seen that over the course of the season. But I think you're deep enough at safety that you can have those guys on the field. And I think that's the way they'll attack it. That's the way they'll kind of have to do it, I think.
I mean, looking back at that first matchup, Anthony Hitchens was one of four Chiefs to play every single snap defensively. It was Anthony Hitchens, Jordan Lucas, Steven Nelson, and Ron Parker. Ron Parker no longer on the team. Reggie Ragland, he only played in 49 snaps out of the 78. He played... He wasn't as pivotal of a role. I do feel like we always talked about Hitchens and Ragland kind of being a duo in this.
Yeah.
I don't know necessarily if that's how the Chiefs view him. I do think they like Dorian O'Daniel more as that hybrid that can kind of help
sure.
the run game cover a little bit. I don't know if that's Reggie Ragland's game. If he's on the field, that's a matchup I think New England tries to exploit.
Yeah, which is the reason I don't think he's going to be on the field that much. I don't think we see Reggie Ragland a ton in this game. And he shouldn't be out there.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest, and we'll catch up with Chris Carter, Pro Football Hall of Famer. We'll talk to him momentarily. Brad, I'm curious of how you would rank the guys that you're worried about when it comes to the New England Patriots, because you seem way more worried about Gronk in this matchup than I am. Everybody on the text line is saying don't wake Gronk up. He's that sleeping giant. You don't want to get him angry. You don't want to give them any bulletin board material. I don't think that's necessarily what it is. I think it's really looking at the numbers and looking how they're using people. Gronk is sixth on the Patriots in targets since Josh Gordon. You would think that when Josh Gordon went out,
yeah.
they would radically kind of change their offense and kind of highlight more of their strengths. I think what we've seen is Gronk isn't our strength in the passing game. Let's use him in the running game. Let's use him as an additional offensive line, a guy to chip block, a guy to play on the offensive line. Let's use Philip Dorsett more. Let's use Chris Hogan more. Let's use Julian Edelman more. Let's use James White more. They're not using Gronk. Since Josh Gordon's suspension, since he was kicked off the team, Gronk only has six targets. They're not using him in the passing game. If you look at it, he has six targets. Julian Edelman has 29. James White has 26. Those are the guys that they're trusting in the passing game, not Rob Gronkowski anymore.
Yeah, but I also think that if you're not careful, the Patriots are going to pull a rope-a-dope on you. You know, Gronk, he's only got six catches since Gordon left, and they're not targeting him. They're using him more as a run blocker. They're doing this. They're doing that. And then all of a sudden you go to sleep on Gronk, and they find him wide open. It takes four Chiefs to get him down, you know, 42 yards later. You know, that's the scary thing with Gronk. So I will continue to say that the Chiefs will be making a big mistake if they sleep on Gronk.
Yeah,
He's playing a lot of snaps, though, man.
No, I mean,
it's not like he's not on the field.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing a lot of snaps. They're just not throwing the ball to him. I'm just curious. Where would you have him of guys yeah. you're worried about in this game? Because I would say you're much more worried about James White.
Yeah.
You're much more worried about
three.
Julian Edelman.
He's number three.
I mean, I would say that I'm much more worried about Michelle in this one or Chris Hogan in this
yeah.
game. That's where I would go. I mean, I'm looking of guys I think the Chiefs need to stop offensively heading into this game.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Sonny Michel, who I think can run for over 100 yards in this game. I'm looking at James White, who I think could get 15 targets. I'm looking at their number one wide receiver. I'm looking at Philip Dorsett as kind of that Tariq Cohen, Tyreek Hill, speedster, kind of do everything guy. Same thing with Cordarrelle Patterson. I just think that Belichick is using those guys much more dynamically offensively than they're using Rob Gronkowski. I mean, one target in the last game, they're just not throwing them the football.
Well, they didn't really have to in that last game either. I mean, they were in control of that game the entire time against the Chargers. I mean, they didn't have to. You know, I mean, from the word go, I mean, that game was essentially over.
I mean, we say that, though. I mean, James White in that game got the ball thrown to him 17 times in that one. I mean, they made a pretty big purpose to try to get James White the football
sure.
as often as they could in that game. They made no effort in that game to try to get Rob Gronkowski the ball, and that's kind of been the thing. Gronk, over the last 2 months, only has one game where he has more than three catches. I just don't think he's that involved in their offense. Somebody who I think Gronk is going to or joined in the Hall of Fame. Chris Carter, Pro Football Hall of Famer. He'll join us coming up in just a minute, and we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. Pro Football Hall of Famer, one of the greatest living wide receivers. Chris Carter joins us on the show next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Here's your chance to win $1,000 on the 30s in the national cash contest. Text the word Mark, M-A-R-K, Mark, to 72881. That's Mark. If you want Chiefs talk and a chance to win $1,000 in the 30s, well, there's only one station in Kansas City giving you both weekdays from 7A to 7P. It pays listen to the largest sports radio company in the world. Message and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour, but why not go ahead and win right now? One more time for those of you in the back that are hard of hearing.
What?
Mark, M-A-R-K, Mark, text the word MARK to 72881. That is your National Cash Contest code word for 430. Earlier today, we got a chance to catch up with Pro Football Hall of Famer Chris Carter, and our conversation started with, what is it like to play in a game of this magnitude? We are very happy to be joined by our next guest, 8-time Pro Bowler, 2 times first team All-Pro. He also has a Go Jacket, and he's enshrined in Canton, Ohio. He's the Hall of Fame wide receiver, Chris Carter, co-host of First Things First. Chris, really appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to talking to Kansas City fans about a big football game on Sunday.
Speaking of a big football game, you played in a lot of them. What is it like to play in a game this big?
Well, being in the championship game, never made it to the Super Bowl, but a championship game, did play in it twice. And I can say that you have more anxiety, you have more nervous energy, and also, even as a good player, I had more negative thoughts as far as the things that could go wrong, because you know a fumble, a drop pass is different in this game compared to any other game because it's the game before the Super Bowl. And if you look at the great history of the Kansas City Chiefs and how they struggled at home playing in games, so yes, there's going to be a great deal of nerve. So I'm, for Kansas City's sake, it's their huge advantage that the game's at home compared to being in Gillette, where I do believe that the decisive experience would kick in more there.
Just kind of listening to your show this week, as somebody that played this game and knows what it's like to play at a high level, as you alluded to, can you put into magnitude what New England has accomplished over the last 15 years? Like, we talk about the dynasty. We don't talk about how the league is just not designed for you to dominate it for as long as New England has. Can you kind of put into context how good this New England Patriots team has been over the last decade and a half?
It's really hard to imagine, and I just believe that in my lifetime, you know, I didn't see the Celtics and Bill Russell dominate. But also, at that time, there was only a handful of teams in the NBA. You know, I didn't see John Wooden. You know, I was a young kid when he dominated college basketball. And that was a larger group that they were able to dominate. But since then, the New England Patriots have been that next dynasty that I can only compare to those runs that those teams went on. Like, it's been unbelievable. And salary cap and free agency, 60% of the players on NFL rosters change every year. And for them to have the continued success, not only just during the regular season, but postseason success, how many years they've won double digits, 12 games, how many years they've won the division, how many years they've won the AFC, how many years they've been in the championship game. Like, it's phenomenal what they've done, and you can't do that unless you have tremendous organizational support. So when you talk about the Patriots, please mention Robert Kraft, the owner, because he did trade a draft pick for Belichick. He did draft Tom Brady. So those key components that are there because the owner decided those are the people that he wanted to move forward with.
We're talking to the Hall of Famer himself, Chris Carter, on 610 Sports Radio right now. Chris, you just reeled off the Patriots resume, and it's amazing. But boy, I really feel sorry for them this week. I mean, they are the underdogs, right? I mean, you hear Tom talking about them. They're playing the underdog card. Can you believe these guys, the greatest sports dynasty in the history of professional sports, are playing the underdog card this week?
I thought someone told Tom Brady and his wife that they weren't attractive. I felt like he's insulted. Someone called him ugly. Like, we know that's a joke. So the underdog thing, Philadelphia, yeah, last year it did work.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about New England, some type of way, with all the success that they have that uniqueness as if preparing as if they didn't have any success. So if it was some other organization, I would poo-poo it a little more. But New England, if you look at, man, through all the years, let's look at Spygate, Deflategate, all the success, people don't ever give them the credit. Like, they always play the underdog card. So this is not new, but it is kind of cute to see Edelman. He's out trying to sell T-shirts and onesies, you know, on his little website and everything, saying, don't bet against us. That's what he's saying, right? Like, I mean, come on, stop, man.
Yeah, that
there's no organization in all of sports that has been favored as much as the Patriots have been favored the last 15, 16 years.
Yeah, the Edelman thing, selling merch on that, is actually pretty brilliant. But, Chris, let me ask you this going into this game, and we've been kicking this around all week here in Kansas City, obviously, but what do you think the most important matchup is in this game that we need to keep an eye on?
Well, I think there's some obvious things that that Tyreek Hill has turned himself into one of the most explosive, frightening wide receivers. Not special player, not special teams returner, wide receiver. And Andy Reid and that offense, for them to have so much variance, bringing him in the backfield, his ability to play in the slot. I think he has 9 touchdowns from the slot. I think he's got over 800 yards from the slot. When you talk about, even you say, oh, well, Belichick, he likes to take away what you do. You can't take away speed, and especially speed that can play in the slot, because you can't use the sideline as another defender. So when you get in that slot, you have a two-way release. And if you're trying to bracket coverage does not account for a guy going vertical. So there were a number of times where Tyreek Hill was free and Patty Mahomes missed him, that I believe that they'll get that dialed back up on some RPOs. He's going to split that defense right through the heart of the defense. That's why the weather and it being a high of 30, maybe a low in the 20s, that really helps the Chiefs, because the matchup of Tyreek Hill versus any secondary, and especially against a Bill Belichick principle type secondary where they like to double team in and out, his speed will destroy that type of double team. So I look for them to try to mix up their coverages on him.
Kind of keeping in line with wide receiver, Sammy Watkins certainly looked healthy last week. I know he had missed some time with Kansas City with the foot injury. He came back and looked really good. I'm kind of looking at him of being that X-factor difference maker in this matchup.
That's a great observation by you, having him healthy. When you got Sammy Watkins as your third or fourth best option on your offense, you know you got the potential to be special. Him being healthy, his ability would run after the catch. If they give him one-on-one on the outside, he'll take advantage of that. So if they decide to double Tyreek Hill, they decide to jam and then double Kelce, man, Sammy Watkins got to be big for the Chiefs. I believe that him and Damian Williams, they are the wild cards for the Chiefs, because I believe Tyreek Hill will do his thing. I believe that Kelce will be slowed down a little bit, keeping him under 100 yards. But those two players, if the Chiefs are to advance, you'll be able to look at the box score afterwards and you'll be able to see their impact.
Chris, one guy I want to ask that I think eventually is going to join you in Canton, Ohio, is Rob Gronkowski for the New England Patriots. I don't know about you, but it looks over to me for Rob Gronkowski, at least being the offensive threat that he used to be. I just don't see New England using him a whole lot in their passing game.
Okay, now, I'm going to tell you something. Now, you made a great football observation. Gronk is not as agile. He's not a threat as much as he was down the field. He was not that devastating locomotive as Kansas City saw last season, where he stiff-armed a guy like 50 yards, carried him on his back like he was in Little League. But in this game, Kansas City fans expect the unexpected. Expect them to go to people they haven't gone to. So for me, I expect at some point in the game, they'll probably flex Gronk out, and they're going to throw him a couple balls either deep outside or down the seam. And the biggest impact he's going to have on the game, and if you don't watch this, you're going to miss a lot of good football. Rob Gronkowski blocking inside the interior part of that line of scrimmage, wham blocking on those defensive linemen for Kansas City, the point of attack where they try to run outside, they typically run to his side. That part right there, he's still very, very special. So he's going to have an impact on the game. But don't think that Bill Belichick, late in the game, just like in week number 6, late in the game, who they throw the ball to, New England against Kansas City, that Bill have that big play to put them down the red zone. It was Gronk. So I understand what you're saying. You make a good observation. Gronk is different. But in this game, expect the unexpected.
I'm with you, Chris, on that. I said one of the biggest mistakes the Chiefs could make was to not consider Gronk being a huge threat in this game. But I want to ask you about Mahomes, because one of the things I've been big on this year is him checking some boxes. You know, the first Monday night game, the first Sunday night game, the first, big game against the Rams, and bringing a team back, you know, down in the fourth quarter, which he did against Denver in Monday Night Football. And now he's checked off the playoff win. Has he pretty much done as much as he possibly can to prepare himself, at least mentally, and checked off all those firsts to be ready for this game in the AFC Championship?
Well, I think that the support that he's gotten from Kansas City, and when they decided not only to draft him, the program that they put him on to get him to this day, because it just didn't start when the 2018 season started. It started the day that they moved up in the draft to build a position to be like, because he was not a no-brainer pick.
Yeah.
Andy Reid saw the talent, saw the specialness to him, and made sure that he got him on that roster. Them sitting him behind Alex Smith and watching how they did things, that was a part of it. Them also going out and getting Sammy Watkins, add him to the team. They give him that startership. They trade away Alex Smith, the confidence. Andy Reid telling people behind the scenes, listen, this kid's going to be special. This kid is going to be a star in the NFL. That's what gave people like me in the media, because I believe so much in Andy Reid, and with the trade, man, they're instilling confidence in this kid. So they've been building this monster up till this day. That's what this day was meant for when they drafted him. So, yes, he's passed every test, but so has the Kansas City Chiefs. They've supported him. Their offensive line has played well. They've run the ball well enough to support him. And at home, the defense has played well enough. So Patty Mahomes' story, it can't be a story just about him, because 99% of all the players ever play in the NFL, they need an organization. They need organizational support, good coaching. And that's what he's gotten in Kansas City. If you throw him out there that first year, how do we know he's not Jared Goff? How do we know that he doesn't, you know, that his story doesn't get off to the start that it does? We don't know it. So what Kansas City did for him, they did him a tremendous service by the speed for which they brought him and the confidence which they instilled in him. I expect Patty Mahomes to reward Kansas City with their first Super Bowl in a long time.
Chris, I was going to get you out of here with the last one, Chiefs and Patriots for the AFC Championship game. Who do you got and why?
Man, Chiefs, man. I played in that building, and I know the heart of those fans. Man, they play that national anthem, and they end it with Chiefs. Man, fire runs through your body. I know Belichick and them got experience, but at the beginning and end of the day, and because the best player is coached by Andy Reid, Andy Reid has put up phenomenal numbers against Belichick. Chiefs don't get their season scoring average. They miss it by one. Kansas City, 34. New England Patriots, 31.
Chris, you just gave me goosebumps, man. You gave me goosebumps saying that the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl.
Man, I love talking football, man.
God. Hey, and before we get you out of here, man, can you do me a favor? When you see Colin Cowherd around the Fox water cooler, just make sure that he knows that he's public enemy number one in Kansas City right now for his Arrowhead's not going to be loud comment, okay?
Yeah, man. It's good for the network, though. Frying, man. He's wrong. He's definitely wrong about Kansas City and Patty Mahomes. We'll send the message to him.
Appreciate it.
And that was 8-time Pro Bowler, 2-time our first team All-Pro. He was the Walter Payton Man of the Year back in 1999, and he is in Canton, Ohio as a Pro Football Hall of Famer. One of the best receivers to ever play the game, Chris Carter. We really appreciate you coming on today. Thanks a bunch.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Always an honor to get a chance to catch up with a guy who has one of those gold jackets. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. I think you guys can guess what it is. We'll also give you a chance to win a Patrick Mahomes bobblehead. All you got to do is keep it locked in during the hits. And I hope that something Andy Reid did last Saturday continues on Sunday. I'll explain what it is coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Presented by Tecate.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. After all that huffing and puffing all week about the weather, Colin Cowherd picked the Kansas City Chiefs to win this Sunday against the Patriots.
I would strongly suggest this is one of the safest NFL playoff picks this year and my favorite so far. Swallow the points. Kansas City wins 28-23. Mahomes is good, not great, but without the pass rush the Chiefs have, the weapons, home field, it's a coaching push. The lack of playmakers will undo the less efficient Patriots away from home. The dynasty is not over. They've got 12 draft picks, and they'll have cap space. But this team from Foxborough is done by Sunday night.
I actually think the point he makes there at the end is a big point. Someone on the text line of the Protein House, Eat With The Purpose text line, asked a really good question earlier. Which team misses the weapon more? Is it the Chiefs with Kareem Hunt in this matchup, or is it the Patriots with Josh Gordon? I absolutely think it's the Patriots in this. I think if we're talking about skill position guys for the New England Patriots, this is probably as weak of a supporting cast that Tom Brady has had. And he's made the most of a guy in Julian Edelman, a guy in James White, a rookie in Sonny Michel, a Gronk who's not the same that he used to be. Brady has done everything he's could, and Belichick has done everything they could with the weapons around him. But I do think the point there is at the end that the Chiefs just have way more offensive firepower than New England, that if this game turns into a track meet, a shootout, the way it was the first time, I don't know if New England is equipped to win that a matchup the way they were the first time.
No, I don't think they are. And by the way, Colin Cowherd coming out and trashing Kansas City and Arrowhead and saying it's cold and nobody's going to get out and cheer, home field advantage gone, and now he comes out and picks the Chiefs? What's he doing, man? Like, I don't understand that. I love the guy, but he's all over the map when it comes to Kansas City. I know he caught a lot of heat all over the country for what he said about Arrowhead Stadium and people wanted to huddle and be cold and have wool on and faces covered. But, yeah, he's wrong. And I'm with you on the Josh Gordon thing. That's a huge loss, more than it is Kareem Hunt. I mean, how many times have we seen it this year, C-Dot? You know, Le'Veon Bell holds out for the entire season. James Conner goes off. Kareem Hunt out. Damian Williams blows up. You know, running backs are more replaceable than any other offensive position out there, in my opinion, at least to the skill positions. So, yeah, losing a guy like Josh Gordon is a big deal, much bigger deal than losing a running back.
Looking at last week's game, one thing I was really happy with the Kansas City Chiefs was how aggressive they were on fourth down. The Chiefs went for fourth down four separate times in that game against the Indianapolis Colts. And that was a big reason why the Chiefs were able to get out to that early lead, because they had their foot on the gas the entire time. If you look back to the first matchup against the New England Patriots, this Chiefs team had fourth and two from New England's two, chose to kick a field goal, had fourth and goal from the New England six, chose to kick a field goal on it. Being aggressive on fourth down could be the difference between winning and losing in this game. This team is 15-for-19 on fourth down conversions this year. It's hard enough to stop this offense when they got three downs to get a first down. You give them that extra play. I liked how aggressive that they were in this. There is no reason for the Chiefs to be kicking field goals when you got fourth and one, fourth and short, fourth and inches. There's no reason for them to be kicking field goals. There's no reason for them to be punting the ball. If they lose this game, that's one thing. There's no reason not to lose being as aggressive as you can offensively. Look at the four coaches we got in this. I think we can agree all four of these coaches are ones that will be very aggressive on fourth down. I know Belichick will in this one. You know Sean McVay will, and you know Sean Payton will in this one. The Chiefs need to continue being as aggressive on fourth down as they were last week against Indianapolis.
But I think you do have to take this into account. I mean, New England, they're second best in the league in stop of the fourth down. I mean, only six times has a team converted on fourth down the entire season. Six of 16. So you got to take that into account as well. The other thing with the New England defense, to me, that we haven't really touched on this week, they don't have much of a pass rush, man. I mean, they're 30th in the league in sacks. Trey Flowers is a leader in sacks. He's got 7.5. And so you're telling me you're going to leave Mahomes back there to pick you apart? Another reason why I like this game, and I'm with you on the fourth down thing too, C-Dot. You got to stay aggressive. I love what Andy Reid did against the Colts. How are you going to stop the Chiefs' offense? They got too many choices, too much misdirection, too much everything to hold them on fourth and short. Now, if you're on your own 15, obviously you're not going to do it. But you know what I'm saying.
I don't care if you're going against the 1985 Bears. I don't care. I don't care if you're going against the 2000 Ravens defense. There's no reason for this offense when it's fourth and one, fourth and short, fourth and a yard and a half. There's no reason for them to be punting the football. This is the third best offense of all time. You got everybody fully healthy. You got Spencer Ware back. You got Sammy Watkins. Lose this game with your offense and going for it. Do not lean on your defense trying to get stops in this one. I do not think that is the way to win this game. Again, this Chiefs offense is 15-for-19 this season on fourth downs. You can't stop them when you got three opportunities to do them. You for sure can't stop them when they got four opportunities. Coming up on the other side, we will get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City, and we will give you a chance to win a Patrick Mahomes bobblehead. All you got to do is keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.